Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums, and this is the next quick reset. They said don't label him, so he suffered in silence. This episode is about why your child doesn't need to grow out of it, air quoting. They need to actually grow with support. Are you worried about putting a label on your child? Common things I hear parents talk about in terms of diagnosing a child with ADHD or whatever it is, a lot of them will talk about feeling worried that they're putting a label on their child. They don't want them boxed in, and they say this completely out of love. However, there is a truth that no one says loud enough. They already feel different, and the diagnosis just gives them a name. Or the label that you give them, i.e. autism, is better than the label they give to themselves, like loser, stupid, dumb, left out. A lot of neurodivergent children experience bullying. And it's funny, I saw something in the Facebook group the other day, and please join the Facebook group. It's in the show notes if you're not in the group already. And it talked about why a pediatrician, a psychiatrist, an OT, whoever it is, struggles to identify autism or ADHD in a neurodivergent child that internalizes. So they don't show outwardly their distress, their emotions, and they sit in silence a lot of the time. Why is it so easy for kids at school to pinpoint who those kids are and bully them, and so hard for professionals to actually see it? I thought it was a really interesting thing because neurodivergent children do often experience bullying. And a lot of the late diagnosed women in the Facebook group talk about how they wish they had have known earlier because they've ended up with low self-esteem or a lot of other mental health conditions that have stemmed out of a neurodivergent brain that they didn't know they had. So getting a formal diagnosis, whether it's ADHD, autism, anxiety, whatever it is not about labeling that child as a problem, labeling them as bad, things they need to work on, being left out or othered. It's not about fixing. It is about understanding the operating system, the brain, the computer. If we think about the brain as a computer for a moment, it is about understanding how the hard drive, how the operating system in that computer works, so we can stop blaming the user. Let's say you have someone who's on a computer in a computer lab in a classroom, and they're reading out the instructions. Go here, go to start, go here, press save. And you have a child that's sitting there and their computer just doesn't have the options that are being listed in the instructions and they can't find it. It doesn't work the same. They're trying to save things, but all of it's all mixed up and everyone else seems to be doing it easily. The teacher comes over and goes, Hey, Sarah, why aren't you up to where everyone else is up to? And she says, well, it's just really hard. Like mine isn't really where it's supposed to be and it's moving around. I've got to check it. And it's just not really working. And the teacher says, it's fine, just try harder. It's fine, Sarah, just try harder. And Sarah's trying, but her computer actually does not work the same way. That's what I'm talking about. Instead of blaming the user of the computer that has a hard drive that doesn't work the same or an operating system that doesn't work the same, we actually have a look at the computer and make sure it actually works the same as everyone else's. Because as soon as we start blaming and shaming and telling Sarah that she's the problem, now we have someone with no self-confidence who's still with the faulty computer and everyone's telling her that her computer's the same as everyone else's. One thing that I also want to talk about is the fact that loving parents, we avoid the labels out of fear. But that is actually continuing on the stigma because we don't want to label our child because we love them so much and we associate the label as negative and so we delay the label, we avoid the label, but what we also do is we delay support to the child. I have never seen or heard of any neurodivergent child whose parent doesn't, and I'm going to say label, but I mean diagnose, who doesn't get them diagnosed. So let's say, for example, I have somebody that I know who's not a close friend, but she's an acquaintance. I like her a lot, but mums being mums, we never have time to hang out. So we always hang out around our kids, which means we can never have a proper conversation. And I could see that one of her children particularly was neurodivergent straight from the beginning. But again, I also assess ADHD and autism, so I can see things easily. Any parent standing around, I don't think would have noticed anything. They may have noticed anxiety, probably at most. She didn't know that I ran the podcast. I basically tell nobody in my life that I run this podcast. So I've known this lady for nearly a year and I've never mentioned the podcast. So I actually sent her a link to the podcast, which I rarely do. So this mum came up to me and said to me, "Your daughter did this particular thing today. I've got three daughters. I can't get them to act with that level of confidence. Do you have any tips for me? One of my daughters particularly lacks confidence." Now, I could tell her daughter was neurodivergent, but it looked a bit like anxiety. And so I sent her a few of my podcast episodes for that reason. Then she listened to a couple of them, texted me back and put, "Oh my God, thank you so much." And then asked me a few questions and said that her daughter had been flagged throughout prep grade 1, 2, 3 as needing to be assessed as autistic or having ADHD at that time. The mum felt like she didn't want to label her. She didn't want to hold her back. She felt very concerned and fearful and did not go ahead and do any of the appointments that was recommended for her. That child is now 13, and it's definitely easier, in my opinion, to parent a neurodivergent child from 0 to kind of like 12 to 13. I haven't got a 13-year-old yet, but I'm not looking forward to that time. From what I've seen with all the mums I speak to, it looks like it gets trickier. One of the reasons why that happens is I think when a neurodivergent child is developing in the developmental phase, a lot of kids I see, particularly the internalizers, can get to grade 3 or 4 and really be somewhat undetected. And over time, the neurotypical peers kind of progress and the neurodivergent child kind of gets left behind developmentally. And it's easy to make excuses for some of those children, like, "Oh, she's got a bit of anxiety, she gets nervous, she's shy," whatever it is. And that can happen. But when they hit teens, I really think it becomes more pronounced. That's my personal opinion. Her 13-year-old girl really does have some self-esteem, confidence, some social things going on where she struggles to make friends. And it has become more and more obvious to her mum. However, now she has a 13-year-old girl with hormones, hitting high school, with a lot more intricate things there than what was going on back when she was 5. And now she's in a tricky position where she came to me and said, "I wish I had have acted earlier. Now I don't know what to do. Should we tell her? Should we go down the diagnosis route? I don't know what to do." So what are the common fears that parents talk about when they don't move forward with an assessment, particularly if the school has asked them to get one? A lot of the things I hear is, "I don't want to use it as an excuse. What if it follows them around? Won't people treat them differently? I don't want her labeled with anything." However, I am really here to flip that today, because a lot of parents think that a child is going to use that as an excuse. I really haven't seen a child use a diagnosis to get out of anything before. Children often use it to explain things. Otherwise, your alternative is that they struggle to do things that other neurotypical children are doing, and they wonder why they can't, and they think there's something wrong with them, and they start to talk about themselves, "I'm not good at learning. I'm bad at maths. I can't make friends. No one likes me. I'm a loser. People say I'm too much. I'm myself and people don't like me. I'm different and I don't know why. I always forget things. I don't know why. I've lost my bag again. I've lost my hat. I can't seem to get organized. Things that everyone else can do, I can't seem to do." Whilst the other children who have been diagnosed, maybe getting extra 5 minutes on a test, getting accommodations put into place, maybe learning some skills that they're struggling with, the other child that isn't diagnosed is still being compared with everybody else. The objection around, "What if the label follows them throughout life?" That's a bit of a funny one. I actually have a bit of a laugh about this one, because I think if your child's neurodivergent, they're already experiencing the world differently and they don't grow out of it. So it's like, what if the label follows them around? Do you mean their ADHD or their autism or their PDA or whatever it is, their social anxiety? They are already going to have that follow them around. They are already experiencing the world differently. The label doesn't create the reality. The reality is that is already there. However, the label will give them language. It will help them understand. It will help them shape their brain in ways that we didn't have opportunities to if you have ADHD and you were late diagnosed. For example, when I made my career decisions, I really think if I had have known I was neurodivergent, I would have done things differently. For example, I joined the Air Force. Now, everybody is different, but for me, the ADF did not suit me. It was probably one of the worst environments I could have for me. When we talk about labels following them, what we really need to think about is giving your child a chance to understand themselves early and build their brain around their life. They may go ahead and join the ADF because their friend did. Or they may see a shiny poster and think that looks nice, hyperactivity, impulsivity, and join something that probably is not going to suit somebody that's neurodivergent. For example, I moved overseas when I was 21. I moved to Dubai and I became a flight attendant. Now, my ADHD presents in a way that I have absolutely no interest in hospitality and I'm not particularly good at customer service and I hated being a waitress. I don't know why I thought it would be different on a plane. I also am autistic, so does sensory overload on a plane really work? I hate being around people. I've always hated crowds. But I didn't know that at the time, so I made a lot of really poor decisions moving, a lot of rollercoastery decisions in my early 20s because I couldn't really figure out why I didn't like things. And other people did. So yes, the label would follow them, but their actual brain would follow them too. If they knew it was lifelong and they had a different neurotype, they may set up their life better than we did. Another objection that I see often is, won't people treat them differently? I think one, it needs to be said that you don't need to tell anybody. That's private information. That's completely up to them. You can tell people if you'd like. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But it's really up to them to disclose. It's really up to them and you and a family preference as to what you disclose. So one, you don't actually have to disclose everything. They're not going to be wearing a t-shirt that has their neurotype written on it. Like, beware, this child has autism. Or like, beware, this child's autistic. Beware, they have ADHD. Beware, they've got poor emotional regulation. I think the objection of won't people treat them differently is probably part of the point of getting them diagnosed. The point is that they are treated differently because they get what they need as opposed to being held to expectations of children who are neurotypical. So won't people treat them differently? Yes, and that's exactly what they need. They need different expectations, different tools, and different environments. They may have a skills lag in certain areas that other neurotypical children meet those milestones easily. A society in a world where things are fair and equal is actually when everybody gets what they need. And if your child needs something specific to develop now, then they should have it. Withholding supports when your child is young because of an impact that you're worried about when they're 18 means that they're going to miss out on 13, 15, however many years of support in the lead up to that time. And their trajectory and outcome could be different. We know that early diagnosis creates better educational outcomes, improved well-being, and reduced parental stress. There is so much research, and I can pop it into the show notes, around identity and forming identity, not limiting identity, by children understanding their neurotype early, helping your child grow up with self-awareness instead of blame. And I'm happy to put those notes into the show notes. We know as well from Kristen Neff that understanding our traits and your child understanding their traits through the lens of understanding their neurotype is going to increase empathy in parenting. It is going to reduce family stress. It is going to help you parent better. If we delay a diagnosis, like I spoke about my friend earlier, the child can start to label themselves as lazy, rude, too sensitive, too much. They can suffer with low self-esteem because they don't understand why they're struggling. They can start to mask, adapt, or internalize the idea that there's something wrong with them innately. I have quite a few friends who work in therapy for children who are neurodivergent. A lot of the time they say that these children actually figure it out by the time they're in the teens. And then they actually have a conversation with their parent where they tell their parent they think they have ADHD or they're autistic or whatever it is. And their parent goes, yeah, I know, because I've had you in therapy for the last 10 years. But the therapist hasn't been allowed to tell the child about their neurotype. So the child has spent 10 years in therapy wondering why they're there and then thought, oh, I best find out what it is, and then gone to their parents who knew the whole time. I just think that's adding an extra layer of complexity that doesn't need to be there. So if your child's struggling to regulate their emotions, focus or connect or transition to different activities, it's not a character flaw, it's a clue of something that's going on. I really feel passionate that the label is not the limitation. We need to create scaffolding from the diagnosis. And we know, and I can put the research in the show notes, that early identification of ADHD or whatever the neurotype is creates a less likelihood of jail time. They've got better outcomes in life. They are less likely to be in youth detention. They are more likely to have a better education and have a better career outcome, they are less likely to abuse substances, and if we delay in the diagnosis, it often moves into other mental health conditions. They may end up with treatment-resistant depression, general anxiety, social anxiety. There is no adult that I've met that has ever said they wish they didn't know earlier. So if you are still on the fence about getting a diagnosis, ask yourself this. Is my child struggling because they're different? Or are they struggling because they're unsupported? A diagnosis is not going to define your child, but it might redefine their experience of the world in a positive way, in a way that's softer, that's clearer, that makes sense to them. And they can make choices from their neurotype and they can build a life around their brain. I wish I had had that opportunity. Sometimes the kindest thing we can do for our child isn't to give them a reward chart, isn't to hold them up to expectations they can't meet. It's to give them the words to explain what's always been unexplainable to them and let them know early. If you've loved this episode, please share it with a friend. Please follow the podcast or give me a review. I really appreciate it. It all makes a difference. If you're wondering about how to talk to your child about ADHD, please check the show notes. I've got a couple of great episodes about how to talk about ADHD, how to talk about the neurotype of your child in a really positive way, in a way that's really truthful and real. We don't want to over sugarcoat it and say, oh, you've got a superpower and it's going to be brilliant. And we also don't want to make it sound like really depressing. So how do we meet that in the middle? Please jump into the show notes, check out that episode, share this with a friend. Thank you so much for listening and see you next week.